From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In the immediate aftermath of the September 11th attacks, there was an outbreak of bipartisanship on Capitol Hill. Republicans and Democrats united to find ways to punish the culprits and to make Americans feel more safe. But, as NPR's Mara Liasson reports, the war on terrorism could change politics in more permanent ways.
Since September 11th, politics has been affected in big ways and small. The smaller changes are the easiest to see. Party fundraisers have been postponed, candidates have canceled appearances, or they're running ads like this one.
For all of us, the terrorist attacks were incomprehensible. The loss, particularly for the families, is overwhelming. But in these tough times, we're also seeing America at her best.
Some politicians have changed their plans completely. Tennessee Republican Senator Fred Thompson, who was about to announce his retirement, decided to run again because of the attacks. Several strong Democratic prospects for Senate decided not to run. And then there's Al Gore, who had planned to reemerge at a party dinner in Iowa tomorrow night. Aides say he would have given a rip-roaring partisan speech to signal his comeback. Now Gore is rewriting the address to stress bipartisanship and unity. But there have also been bigger changes that have shifted the terms of the national debate. Historian Alan Brinkley teaches at Columbia University in New York City, just a few miles north of Ground Zero.
Certainly in the short term, it seems that the animosity towards government at all levels has receded very quickly. I realize that being here in New York, we have a somewhat unusual perspective on this, but the lionization of the mayor and the police force and the fire department and or something that one wouldn't have seen 2 weeks ago, and similarly the federal government has suddenly become an object of great respect.
In Washington, all of a sudden, the era of big government being over is over. Within days of the attack, Congress responded with a huge new spending bill for Reconstruction and a big bailout of the airline industry. Lawmakers ripped through the budget surplus without any concern for the famous Social Security lockbox. A new cabinet-level agency was created to coordinate homeland security, and now both parties are talking about how the federal government can stimulate the economy. Political professionals say it's hard to predict whether this new guns-and-butter politics will be good for Democrats or Republicans. In the short term, it's the Democrats' agenda that has collapsed. Instead of Social Security, the debate is now focused on national security. Paul Begala is a Democratic strategist who is trying to figure out how his party can adjust.
As important as prescription drugs, patients' rights, campaign reform have been, they have to take a back seat to national security and personal security. I think Democrats understand that. If we are indeed in a long twilight struggle, as we were during the Cold War, though, I think Democrats and some Republicans may repackage their domestic initiatives as part of a national defense.
Begala remembers that during the Cold War, roads were built with money from the National Defense Interstate Highway Act, and schools were funded by the National Defense Education Act. Already, Republicans have renamed the president's energy bill the Homeland Energy Security Act. And Begala jokes that a national defense prescription drug bill may not be far behind. If national security is going to be the number one issue, Republicans should have an advantage, particularly because there's a Republican in the White House. But conservatives are nervous too, because the country is not only at war, it's probably in a recession. And in tough economic times, voters often favor Democrats. Marshall Whitman is an analyst at the conservative Hudson Institute.
The question is whether conservatives can adjust to this landscape, because we've gone from peace and prosperity to war and recession in but 2 weeks. And wartime requires different demands than peacetime, and conservatives, even small government conservatives, are going to have to adapt to the moment or else become irrelevant.
Since September 11th, only a handful of actual elections have taken place, and the outcomes have been remarkably unaffected by the attacks. David Axelrod is a Democratic consultant whose client, Fernando Ferrer, is a candidate for mayor in New York City. Primary day there was September 11th. It was postponed 2 weeks until this Tuesday.
It was really a surprising day, and in certain ways it was a really heartening day, because even at ground zero, democracy rumbled on here.
One of the most surprising things to Axelrod was what voters said afterwards.
In exit polls, people were asked what the most important issue facing the next mayor was, and they didn't say rebuilding the city, and they didn't say terrorism, they said education. And what it suggests to me is that at some point down the line, people are going to refocus on the issues that most directly impact on their lives, and the debate may shift again.
After the Persian Gulf War, voters turned their attention back to domestic issues and rejected the incumbent president who'd won that war. Even in the new war on terrorism, where there may be no end at all, it's wrong to assume that on Election Day in 2002 or 2004, terrorism and security will be the number one issues. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.